What's up, everybody, Walker fans? Two-episode premiere of Fear the Walking Dead Season 3 coming up. Stay tuned.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
I love it. It's so scary. Just like this premiere. This premiere was explosive. I love the lights, Neil. Thank you so much for those. I hope that you guys enjoyed this season premiere because it was kind of intense. What did you think?
A little intense. There a lot happened.
I mean, I might be downplaying it.
A little bit, you think?
Just a little bit. What's up, everybody? I'm your host, Timothy Michael. You can reach me on all social media platforms at I Am Timothy Mike, and I am joined by my lovely co-host, who I'm so excited to be working with. Go ahead and introduce yourself.
I know. I mean, it's our first time meeting, so this is really exciting.
I think we have great chemistry already.
Yeah. I'm Natalie Dyer. You can find me at Natalie Dyer on all social media platforms. That's NataleeDyer.
Awesome. Yeah. So, like Natalie said, it was more than a little bit of an intense episode. This, I feel like these writers, because this show, as you probably know, has gotten a lot of slack from, you know, Fear the Walking Dead fans because it is
slack
a spinoff
or
show.
Slack,
flack, whatever. Whatever word you want to use. People have been driving the show really hard and giving it a really hard time because it is a spinoff show from The Walking Dead and they expect it to be that high of a standard.
Right.
And when you start off a new show, you have to keep in mind that we are getting introduced to new characters. Might be a little slower, but
and they have to find out who they are. Like
exactly, you have to be invested in these people. But this premiere was not slow at all. We left the peeps from Fear getting to the border, and that's where things went to a head. I don't want to talk too much about the previous season because we have so much to talk about with these two premieres. They are being escorted to this compound. What did you think immediately from this episode?
From the moment, from the beginning. I was thinking, oh shit. Like, these are my favorite characters. Alicia's my favorite character.
Yeah.
And then they're being rough handled by, like, what I thought was military originally. It turns out it's really just, like, a militia.
Right.
And I was like, oh, here we go. Like, we're just starting off with a bang right now.
Did we think? Because, I mean, they obviously get separated pretty quick. And Neil, our amazing engineer, if you can get our live chat up, if there's anybody in the live chat, we can get those guys.
I've got that. We've got great episodes, crazy episodes. We just lost a damn good Kiwi. You're right.
Kiwi.
But we'll talk about that in a little while.
Yes, we will talk about that in a second. Did you think that they were going to get reunited so quickly with Nick and Luciana?
No. I thought it was going to take a lot longer. Like, at the end of last season, I was like, they're going to spend the entire next season with them trying to get together.
Yeah.
So it was a surprise for me.
When they were getting separated, what was your initial thought? Did you think that they were separating the men from the women? Because that was my initial thought.
To be honest, my mind automatically went to, and this is terrible, but like the Holocaust, they would, like, you're going into a compound and they're separating men and women. So that was my original thought.
Well, not only with the Holocaust, I mean, and that,
well, a lot of other things as well. But
of course. But I mean, not only did they separate the men and the women, but then they also separated the weak from the strong.
Yes.
So that's what I thought was initially happening.
Yeah.
And then we get into it, and then after you find out the room that Travis is in with all of these how do I put this politely, all of these similar looking people, what did you think about after that?
I was like, oh, they're literally running border control still. Like, the goddamn country has gone to shit, and they're still like, no, you look not American, whatever that means.
You guys, we have to talk about this, because me and Natalie were sitting there, and we were like, wait a second, is this a little bit racist? Or we're like, yes, like, what are they doing? Like, this is insane. Like, Travis is being escorted through this compound / bunker, and he passes this bathroom, and this guy is getting, like, shot in the head, and I was like, oh gosh, here we go. Another, like, Terminus kind of situation, Walking Dead fans, you'll know what I'm talking about. And I was like, great, we can't find, like, a safe haven ever. Not that I think,
I mean, it is the Walking Dead universe, so, I mean, let's be real, there is no safe haven.
Of course. But then he sees Nick and Luciana, and I was just, I literally was like, this is insane. Like, I just...
To be honest, it took me a minute to, like, figure out that it was Nick, because I was like, no way.
Really?
Like, no way are they doing it this quickly.
I saw it pretty quick, and then I was like, are they separate? Because then... I don't know, because here's the thing. I was a little confused, because Steven was white.
Yeah.
Steven, the guy that they encountered in the bunker, was white, and if they were separating, you know, Mexicans or anybody who is ethnically ambiguous from the Caucasian mm-hmm. people, why was there some white people in mixed in there?
Well, it came through that they were injured in some form, so they were going to die anyway.
That's true.
He does ask, where are you from? He asked Travis, where are you from? That's very blatantly, like...
It was pretty blatant, yeah.
Yeah.
I did want to point out this bathroom scene, though, because what I love about Fear the Walking Dead in general in a show is that they have tried to catch us up with The Walking Dead. Like, it's supposed to be how this started, which we still haven't gotten to.
Right.
But these soldiers are running experiments on how fast it takes to turn.
Yeah.
What did you think about that?
Well, I thought that was brilliant. At first I was like, are they actual scientists, or are they, like, I was like, what is happening here? Are you taking bets? Because they were taking bets. So I was like, maybe it's just, like, rogue soldiers entertaining themselves, which is a terrible way to do that. Right. But I think it's actually, as crazy as Troy is, I think he's very smart.
Yes.
To be doing... I think he is a sociopath, or whatever the technical term is for him, but it's definitely something other people should be doing. I'm not saying they should be killing people in order to have these results, but maybe when, like, someone, you know... that, like, on your team, people are going to die.
Yeah, you know. No. And I'm glad that you brought Troy up, because he is clearly... When you say sociopath, I think that is a good word, because he can turn it on and off. Like, when he's with Travis, he's just completely... Or in front of these people, he's completely different. And then when he's with Madison and Alicia, which we'll get to in a second, he's a totally different person.
He has no qualms about anything he does.
No.
And that's, I think, the true indicator of... Yeah.
Yeah, and it's totally scary, because this person is so unpredictable.
He's more dangerous than a walker, because you know what a walker wants. You know how he's going to get there. Whereas with him, it's...
It's a really good point.
You can't believe anything.
It's a really good point. Plus, he can think.
Yes.
And open doors. So it makes him a little bit scarier. What did you think about Alicia and Madison in that office? What did you think was going on with that? How did you feel about it?
I mean... I don't really know what I thought about it, like, what was happening. I just knew they needed to get out.
Right.
Like, he was so weird. He was like, you can come, like, he was, like, trying to put on the charm with them, but it was like, are you hitting on her? Like, I was so confused. And I was like, yeah.
It was, like, creepy charm. Like, he was like, oh, we just want to know. He's like, first of all, he's asking too many questions.
Right.
So when you know when somebody starts asking you too many questions, that's when you have to be aware. And I love when Madison and Alicia, and they are two very strong female characters, which is what I love about Fear the Walking Dead,
right.
Is that they have no qualms about giving female roles these strong characters. And immediately, Alicia and Madison are on, like, high alert.
Yes.
A, with this place, and B, with this guy, Troy. Like, they don't trust him. And
the one thing
that I wanted to, to point out...
Yeah, go.
...was that Alicia didn't even drink the tea. Did you see that?
I didn't see that, but I am so proud of her. This girl is a survivalist to the core. I love her.
I love her. Like, the fact that she didn't even drink the tea, like, and not only did she pour it out, she poured it out in the plant, which just, like, A, gets rid of the evidence, makes it look like you drank it,
I drank it.
Like, she's just so smart. Like, she is, like, on high alert all the time.
It's like taking a shot with your friends when you've had too many and you're just like, I'm gonna slip this tea.
Exactly.
Yeah, oh my god, that was so good.
Right. So, we obviously knew that they were gonna plan it to escape.
Yes. Oh, yeah, of course.
Did we think that it was going to happen so soon?
Well, I mean, as soon as they mentioned that they needed to leave this location to go to another location, then instantly, yeah.
Yeah.
And as much as Madison is a manipulator, because let's be real, she is.
Yeah.
She wasn't getting to Travis. Mm-hmm. So I think it was going to be fast.
Yeah.
I knew it was going to be... I didn't know how long it would take them, but I knew it was going to be fast because she has this sense of immediacy when it comes to her loved ones.
Yeah.
I mean, she didn't want to wait around and try and find Nick. She's like, no, we're going to go find Nick.
Yeah.
You know?
I think one of the biggest criticisms for The Walking Dead and for Fear of the Walking Dead is that sometimes it just moves too slow.
Yeah.
And I feel like they didn't waste any time with this episode and with the following episode because everything was moving at, like, lightning speed. That's why I keep asking, like... Did you think it was going to happen this fast? Because I thought in the beginning of the episode when they introduced this bunker and this whole set that we would be there for a couple of episodes.
Right, but again, once you saw that, I mean, yeah, as soon as I saw that Travis was legitimately in danger of some sort,
mm-hmm.
To me, it was like, nope, they're going to get out.
Yeah.
Or at the very least, she's going to get him out of it.
Yeah. Well, let's go back to Travis really quick. Because, like we said, these soldiers are running these experiments, which is normal. Not normal per se, but you did bring up the Holocaust earlier, and right. they did the same thing
they
with the Holocaust.
They were writing numbers on their hands. They were,
exactly. It was very
similar.
There's
a lot of very, like, symbolic
I agree with you.
Moments.
And we find out that it takes about an hour for somebody to turn, which I thought was really fascinating. Mm-hmm. I love the scene when he's opening the guy's eye, and he, like, sees it turn. I thought that was brilliant. Because they've never done that before.
No.
No.
I mean, they have them, like, open their eyes, and it's already turned, and you're like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, no, you've never seen it. Visually,
I thought that was super cool. I just obviously didn't like the way that they were going about it. but initially, what they were doing, what we find out is that they're going through each and every. Why they kept asking where they're from is because they're going through each race and seeing who takes the longest to turn, if they even turn.
Right.
I mean, can we blame these soldiers for trying to get any kind of information that they can?
That's a problematic question because you want to have this information. However, you are putting people who are still alive. Like, you're already outnumbered by the dead. Why are you...
adding to that population.
Why are you diminishing your population? Like, in this world, it's like you need to stick together to survive, and yet I feel like everybody in the Walking Dead universe forget that.
I agree with you. And everybody in the chat, let us know. I feel like if they were going to start running these experiments, and they should do it on people who were already either bitten or dying or injured,
right?
Something,
yeah, right?
Not just because you look different,
right?
You know what I mean? And I was reading some articles.
They kind of were. They were like, "Oh, you're shot," but they weren't putting any effort in saving them first,
right?
And that's where I have a problem,
right?
Because they weren't dead. They weren't like, I mean, yeah, they weren't knocking on death's door,
right.
In that moment, mm-hmm. They were like, "Oh, I'm shot." Why don't we put a bandage on it and walk away? And nope, we're gonna see how long it takes for you to turn.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. And I was reading some articles before we started the season, and they were saying that they were gonna touch on a lot of political things, especially with the whole Donald Trump thing and the border thing and the travel bans and stuff like that.
I love that.
I love that too, and I think that they hit it out of the gate with this first episode because it's like you can't. We literally left the United States to get into Mexico thinking that it was going to be safe haven. Now we're trying to get back into the United States, and it's
crazy.
Even
it's
after
crazy
the
time.
World has ended, it's still a problem trying to get back to the U.S. Like, what is happening? I'm so confused. So Travis winds up finding this comrade, Steven, mm-hmm. who has this plan to get out.
Who I love the actor because he's in Band of Brothers.
Okay.
When I was freaking out. I was like, is that him? Oh my God, it is him. Oh my God, I had to go double check because I wasn't 100% sure. And I was just so excited to see him, Ross McCall, on another show.
Yeah.
Like, it was a nice surprise because I watched Band of Brothers at least once a year, probably.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So you're a super fan of that show.
Yeah. I love
okay.
that show.
Well, he finds his comrade in Steven, and then Steven winds up helping him, Travis, and Luciana get out.
Right.
Did we think that Steven was going to last a little bit longer than he did, since you're such a fan?
Yes. I was so excited. I was so excited to see him longer. And then he dies, and I was like, I'm going to die.
Yeah.
I was so mad. I was like, oh my God, is he a series regular now? This is great. This
right.
is so cool. Like, he's a great
series
actor.
Series regular.
Great.
Really, Natalie? You're going to go series regular? He's on the screen for 5 minutes. You're going to go series regular? Like,
I was that
this
excited.
This is Fear the Walking Dead.
I was that excited about seeing him, okay? I figured he'd die at some point, but no, I did not expect it to
that
be
fast.
Like 10 minutes later.
Right. Well, so those guys escape, and then apparently they're on some psych wavelength thing because Alicia and Madison think it's their turn to escape.
Right.
And when Troy comes back into the room, they ambush him, and this brilliant moment happens. I see a lot of you in the chat talking about it. They use a spoon in order to take...
Well, Madison does.
Madison does.
Let's be real. This is all Madison in this situation. I mean, I thought Alicia was going to have to step up and do it again. Like, take care of her mother again.
Mm-hmm.
But then Madison comes out of nowhere. And you're like...
with a spoon. Like,
with a spoon.
Jams it in his eye. Natalie and I were like, what is happening? Like, oh my God, that's insane. And then they use Troy as a hostage to get out from where they are.
Yeah.
Alicia goes to find a truck. And... Madison is just obviously I don't know what I think Madison was trying to find the fam like the Nick and Travis and them.
Yeah, well, she didn't know Nick was there.
Right. Oh, that's right. She was going
to
try to find
Travis.
She was
just trying to find Travis. She sent Alicia to go get a vehicle so that they could escape.
Right.
Which is smart. But yeah, she didn't know Nick was there at all. She was just obsessed with Travis. Because who thought Travis could take care of himself? Well, certainly not me.
I'm glad that you brought that up, because they obviously wind up catching Travis, as you guys all saw, and they throw him into this walker pit, which was another amazing scene, because Travis was like giving me like Rick Grimes, like, I'm gonna take out all of these walkers.
Which cinder blocks.
And like stakes or nails or whatever those things were.
Iron rods of some sort.
Like, he took out like maybe seven of them in the beginning.
And they showed us those ones, and yes, they were brutal. They were like heads exploding and just bars coming through. It's like, oh man, I was like, oh god, that hurts.
Yeah, and then I thought that after he had taken out all of them, they were going to see that he was more of an asset and maybe save him, or maybe take him out. Maybe it was like a test, I don't know. But clearly that wasn't the point. They open this other gate and all these other walkers come out.
I pegged them as psycho. I was like, this is not, like, they're not, I get why they would be like, oh, you're an asset now, but I had already determined that these militia people were not having it with anybody new.
Yeah.
They were not having it. So
at all. We're not having it at all. And then going back to Madison, she is surrounded by all these soldiers now. And then we encounter another new character, Jake, who is Troy's brother. And he convinces Madison to let Troy go if they bring her to Travis, her family.
Yeah.
And then she does. Were you surprised by that?
Yeah, actually, sort of. Because, I mean, she always has the motivation of finding her family. That is who Madison is protecting them. So I was surprised that she decided to do it that quickly.
Right.
It was because, to me, she was going to be like, well, I'm not letting him go until you prove.
Right. Like, you're giving away all of your leverage here, girl.
Right.
Right?
That's what I thought. I also really wanted her to just pop his eye out.
Oh,
like,
no.
Like, to be like, for good measure.
For good measure. Like, Natalie's brutal, you guys.
Take the eye.
I don't know. This is going to be a great season. I love that, that Steven kind of saved Nick and Luciana.
Mm-hmm.
But Luciana is slowing Nick down, like, immensely. What did you...
Wait, physically, emotionally, mentally? What?
I don't feel like emotionally. I actually like Luciana and Nick together. I don't know if you do.
I do too, yes.
I feel like they bring out the better of each other. I don't like how Nick always... it seems like he's going to be putting Luciana first over his mm-hmm. family. I don't like that.
Yeah, not me either.
But she is slowing him down. Would you have left her?
I mean, he wasn't in any immediate danger. Like, in that tunnel. Like,
right.
You know, so I probably would have stuck with her, at least for the time being.
Okay.
But then it feels like he's going a little bit of the extra mile.
Yeah.
Which makes sense, but I mean, farther than I would probably go.
Well, he obviously didn't. I would have left her. maybe that's because, I don't know, maybe I wouldn't have, I don't know.
Wait, imagine though that it's like you're
that's what I was saying, like, if it was somebody that I was really close to, maybe I wouldn't have left her, but at the same time,
right,
I'm
that's
like,
where you're same here,
you're like, you're that, yeah, it's like, you never know how you're gonna deal with that situation.
To be honest, I wouldn't have left her. Nope, not until she's like good and dead. Oh, and turned.
See, so you're a good person.
I don't know.
So Nick, well, they try to escape, but then they wind up facing this horde of zombies, which they let into the compound. Nick and Luciana and Travis and Madison obviously makes the right decision in, you know, bargaining with Troy's life and you know, giving into what Jake wants. Mm-hmm. And they all, like, come together, reunited again.
Yeah.
And then we find out that the walkers that have escaped are coming into the compound. But the way that we found out, and I'm telling you guys, Greg Nicotero was like on another level with this episode, because we see that soldier that was helping Troy out.
Yes.
And he's like, here's something in the vents. And it's like,
but better yet, he's like looking at the, like, where he's killed people, and he's like smirking. He's like, that was fun. And then he gets it, and it's amazing.
He does not only get it, but he gets it through a vent, gets his neck bitten off, and then gets bent in half. And then,
and
like,
sucked it.
This is what I thought was brilliant in this, is that the, when he opened the vents, the rats ran out.
Yeah.
And I'm like, the rats had the brains to, like, run away from the walkers, but you are just gonna find out what's in there. Like, what? Why? What?
Like, listen, here's the thing. If rats are running from something, you better be running too.
Thank you.
That was something you learned when you were on a ship and it was sinking. If the rats are running up, you better be running up as well.
Exactly. Did you not watch the Titanic? Did you not?
Exactly.
So yeah, I just thought that there had some really gruesome moments. The spoon and then the guy being bent in half. I thought those moments were awesome.
Can we skip back real fast?
Yeah.
To when Travis protects Nick.
Yes.
We just totally blew past
that. We totally did blew past that. Yeah, I'm glad you brought it back.
But Travis, one, does not let Nick or Luciana, he doesn't even know Luciana.
Right.
And he protects him. And he says, I love this, he says, prove it, kill me.
Right.
Which was maybe foreshadowing in some form of sense, but or maybe it was a misdirect, really.
Well, maybe.
I feel like it was kind of a misdirect.
Did we think that Travis was protecting Nick so hardcore because he felt guilty about what happened with Chris?
100%.
Yeah, that's what I thought, too.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah. He was...
like, he couldn't lose another son, essentially.
Yeah, even though, I mean, Nick just got out of rehab, right, in season one? Yeah. So, did he really have that much of a connection to Travis?
No, but at the same time, I feel like Travis had a connection to him.
Yes.
Like, he just wanted to be a father figure to him.
Right.
You know what I mean? And if you could step up in any way...
a good father figure.
Right. So, yeah, I'm glad that you brought that up, because I did love that connection.
Yeah, that was a wonderful moment.
Yes.
And, like... a totally redeeming quality for Travis, or a moment for Travis, in my opinion, because Travis was very frustrating, at least last season, when he was like, no, we're not killing anybody. And, you know, he was, like, such a pacifist, and then he had to step up.
I feel like that's what I like about this season, is that everybody has, like, stepped up their game, where it's like, you know what? No, we have to just go balls to the wall, and we're going to do anything that we can to survive. So the walkers invade the compound.
Mm-hmm.
Alicia, Travis, and Luciana go in the helicopter. Troy saves Madison and Nick, which I thought was interesting. And they're all separated once again.
Right.
Which brings us into the second episode of the premiere, called The New Frontier. We pick up right where we left off. And if you need to circle back at all, Natalie, just let me know.
Yeah,
The New Frontier, so... before we get into the helicopter ride, you guys, I read an article, and I told Natalie about this before we watched the episode, that a main character is supposed to die. Did I think it was going to be Travis? No.
Who did you think it was going to be?
I thought it was going to be Nick. Okay. I thought it was going to be Nick trying to protect Luciana.
Okay.
I did not think it was going to be Travis.
I mean, I thought, once you told me, because I didn't know about it, I was like, oh, Luciana's going to die. Like, she's going to die while they're in the helicopter, and she's going to turn, and she's going to have to, like, and it's going to be a fast turn for some reason. Like, it's going to, like, shit's going to go crazy, and... in the helicopter, which it did. It just didn't go the way I thought it was going
to
go.
But even you said Luciana's not that big of a character to...
Right, but I thought... I mean, they always hold off on killing the major characters until, like, the second-to-last episode of series, because that's, like, the shock value, you know?
Right.
And so I did not see that coming.
I didn't see that coming either. He gets shot in the neck, and then he does what, obviously, Travis would do. He sacrifices, you know, his trying to get medical help for everybody else in the helicopter and throws himself out.
Yeah.
And then he has this amazing moment with Alicia, which I think is going to stick with her for the rest of the season.
Oh, 100%. I think it's going to change her a lot, actually.
I think so, too. And I feel like that she just lost another father. Pretty much. Yeah. And I just want to point this out. Due to kind of suicide.
Yeah.
I mean, because technically he might have been able to get help, medical help, but he was just too focused on trying to protect her that he was like, no, I need to do this.
Well, and that's going to be a guilt from her, because she did essentially let him go, like she was holding on to him.
Yeah.
And she lets go, and that's when he falls.
Yeah.
And it was a decision she had to make, and I think that's going to haunt her. That moment is definitely going to haunt her.
I agree.
And that moment, and also having to tell her mother again.
Oh, gosh.
I actually imagine the fact that Madison is going to... sadly, I think Alicia's going to have to step up again and take care of Madison again.
Mm.
Because I think Madison's going to take it really, really hard.
I think so, too. Which we'll talk about.
Yeah.
Because they did have a great moment at the end. But then we skip to the Rosarito Beach Hotel.
Mm-hmm.
The hotel that they left last season. The accommodations that they so stupidly left, because I was very upset about that, because I thought this hotel was amazing. And then they should have just stayed there. But obviously they couldn't.
Right.
But Strand is still there. And I'm glad that they touched up on Strand, because he is one of my favorite, as you had brilliantly said, pseudo-villain characters. And so the way that they encounter this is that all these people are trying to get into the hotel, rightfully so, because it's a safe haven.
Mm-hmm.
And then Elena and Hector don't want to let anybody in.
Yeah, okay,
Go ahead.
Elena, God. Like, did she learn nothing from when she was, like, trying to keep him out in the first place? Or they helped her get into this freaking hotel, right?
Right, exactly.
That last season. They help her get in, and then she kicks, like, she proceeds to kick them all out.
Right. Like, right.
We don't want you anymore. Thanks for helping.
But no.
Yeah.
But no.
But no.
So, once again, Strand saves Elena and Hector's ass.
Yeah.
And then offers everybody to come in, and he poses as a doctor to help them. And then, what did you think? Did I? Because I was like, was Strand, was being a doctor part of Strand's backstory? Because he had me going for a second.
No, he's just a charlatan, like, con artist. But he was like, I'm a doctor. And I went, oh shit, is he a doctor? Did I forget that? Right. Like,
Right. Yeah. So then he's posing as a doctor. He has to deliver a baby, which he does successfully.
Can't wait, but he had the best line when he lets them in. He's like, Donata, asshole. I was so happy.
Strand had some really good lines this episode. And I'm glad they gave Coleman Domingo some really great lines. Because he didn't have that many big scenes in this episode. But the lines that they did give him were great.
He always has the best delivery on that.
Oh, yeah. Like, totally.
Yeah. Fake it till you make it. I agree.
So then Strand is posing as a doctor. He delivers his baby. But Elena and Hector seem to have a problem with him posing as a doctor because this lie is apparently too big. So she decides to kick him out as well, just like you had said earlier. Yeah. Just kick everybody out, Elena. Ooh. Thank you so much. So then they give him one last patient, which I thought was a little odd, because I'm like, if you want somebody to leave and you're kicking them out on foot, no less, why do you need to give them one last patient? But I feel like it was like an F you to him, because Estelle or Eileen was the one who killed him or stabbed him.
Yeah.
So
it I was smelling trap. I was like, this feels like a trap. This feels like a trap, and it feels like there are going to be walkers in there or something.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. You pointed out that the door locks from the inside, but I was like, but that doesn't mean you can't lock it somehow on the outside.
I was like, it can't be a trap if you could get out in the room. But I was like, okay, I mean, maybe it is a trap. But then he saw, like, the wedding dress, and I was like, maybe it is a trap.
Right? And there was, like, blood on it, and I was like, nope.
Yeah.
Nope,
and I was like, this is a little weird. But then we meet Eileen again, who lost her whole family last season. Mm-hmm. And due to Elena, by the way, because she's the one that locked them all in that room.
Yeah. She's a
Yeah. And then, Strand winds up opening this door to let some air in, because apparently it smells in there, because Eileen must not have showered since they've been there, because she's so depressed about what happened to her family, obviously.
I mean, that's fair.
Yeah, well, rightfully so, of course. Yeah. But they had this amazing moment where Eileen gives him a wedding gift. Which turns out to be...
And they don't show us.
I know.
I was like, what is it?
It turns out to be a car.
Which is amazing.
Which is amazing.
And not just a car, like a really fun sports car. So which,
which apparently is like Strand's type of car.
Well, of course.
Which I love.
But like, if you're in this after world or whatever, like, you want to roll around in style.
Yeah.
It might be your last time rolling around. You want to do it in style.
Yeah. Like, yeah. But Eileen winds up committing suicide.
Yeah.
Because of the guilt.
Yeah.
One thing that I liked about that moment was that Strand said he delivered a baby, so there is hope. But Eileen obviously doesn't see that, because she says there are no future generations.
Right. And can you really blame her?
No.
Like, no, like, it's... And, yeah, I don't...
I think that's what I loved about the second episode, is that they really did touch on this whole suicide factor with, you know, Travis's death and affecting Madison, and then Eileen losing her whole family and seeing how she deals with it. It's like, is suicide such an abnormal desire when you go through all of this, especially during a zombie apocalypse?
No, especially not in a zombie apocalypse.
Right.
And it's definitely something that people deal with. So it's great that they're bringing it up, and they're bringing it into like a... They're showing two different sides of like what people choose to do. So, you know, and loss is a hard thing, and this show is all about loss. I mean, it's all about badassery as well.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, it's all about, you know, it's what would you do?
Yeah.
And that's a hard one to answer.
Lapcat 20, we kind of knew that she was going to jump from the door. Everybody in the chat, thank you guys so much for tuning in.
Yeah.
Because you were awesome.
Some great, and as soon as we start talking about the things, I will mention some of the comments that we've had, but we're going to get to some of these things.
Yeah, so, and Eileen the actress who played Eileen has done a lot. She was on, you know, Desperate Housewives. She was on The 100, which you covered.
Yes. Yeah.
But I wonder how publicists find, like, dealing with actors and it being so hard to deal with, like, actors who are on, like, a show like The Walking Dead and then get killed off so fast. Like, I'm sure there's some drama behind the scenes.
Oh, my God. There's always drama. And, you know, I started reading this new book, and it's called The Blind Item.
Okay.
And it is true stories like true Hollywood stories, mm-hmm. but the names are changed, so we'll never know who they are.
Of course.
But oh my God, they're scandalous. They're so good. And I mean, it's written by Kevin Dixon and Jack Kaotsen, and they're industry veterans. And the scandals, it's so good. I don't know how to tell you. And it's gotten some really, really good reviews. I've got it up here on my computer because I was reading before I got here. and all it's about an assistant publicist in Hollywood who is, you know, it's like a rain. She's kind of a Ray Donovan. I don't know if you ever saw that show, but she's cleaning up
okay.
all of these, you know, messes that like their celebrities are getting into, mm-hmm. and then she gets involved with a celebrity, and it kind of turns around, and she's the one being reported on.
Oh, interesting.
In a sense. So it's really good, and if you guys want to read it, because it's like, I mean, primo stuff. It's a great. I was reading it by the pool when I was in Sacramento.
Oh, nice.
Which I just got back from. I drove really, really fast. Then go to blinditembook.com. It's BLINDITEM book, BOOK, if you can't spell that, .com. And you can start reading it. They've got it at Amazon and at, it was like on Overstock. I mean, I'm reading on a Kindle, so.
Right.
You know. But yeah, it's really fun. It's true life stories. It's a real page turner.
True life stories about actors.
Yeah.
From publicists. Sounds
from
good.
From publicists.
Sounds
real fun. Publicists.
Real publicists. But so names real, are changed, yeah, obviously.
Maybe you guys can put up together who it is.
Oh, maybe.
I mean, that's what I've been trying to do.
Maybe one of them will be like Madison, and like Kim Dickens, who plays Madison on the show.
Well, that would be really cool. Right? And if I can figure that. Oh, wait. I wouldn't really want to like expose that, though, if I that's figured true. Out that that's who it was.
Yeah. But getting back to them, yeah. So Madison and Nick go to this sanctuary that Jake has told them about. That's where the cars are going, called Broke Jaw Ranch.
Yes.
And they meet this cool older guy named Jeremiah. And I feel like Jeremiah is going to be a really awesome character because he has this no-nonsense thing about him. But at the same time, I feel like he's compassionate, like Madison. I feel like him and Madison have very similar attributes.
My first, like, feeling about him was, oh, no. He's gonna be a bad guy, but he had that moment with Madison at the end, and he lets her keep her gun. And so I was like, okay, maybe he is gonna be good. But I think he's gonna be a problematic fave.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
Because he's protecting some crazy people.
That's another thing that I wanted to touch on, because Jake kind of alluded to this when him and Alicia were making their way back to the compound mm-hmm. on foot after the helicopter crashes. After Charlene dies, unfortunately, who I really liked, you guys, by the way. Charlene
was
the
cool.
blonde like pilot of the helicopter, and I thought that she was going to make it. But Fear the Walking Dead, you can never really count on anybody to survive. But Jake tells Alicia, you know, we just watch him. And it's like, we sent him out to go get fuel because we couldn't trust him with the group. And I'm like,
right, yeah.
Why would you think... I feel like this whole family is protecting Troy, and I mm-hmm. think that's what is going to be the downfall of this entire sanctuary.
Can we talk about how it was kind of paralleling, like, Alicia and Madison and Travis, that they were trying to protect Nick.
Yes. That's true. Oh, that's true. That's a good point.
Like, they yeah. were all in this situation a little bit ago. And I think it's kind of interesting to, like, think about that.
I completely agree with you. I think that what I love about the writers of this show is that they always have these parallels where, and I didn't even put that together, so kudos to you.
Okay.
On because, you know, they always worry about Nick, and now this family is always worried about Troy. Do you think Troy and Nick will have a camaraderie in that kind of way? But then Troy's not really Nick isn't a sociopath, like...
No, but Nick has his own mental issues.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
So in my opinion, Nick switched out drugs for the, like, adrenaline and high mm-hmm. of, like, walking among the dead, which he hasn't done yet this
right.
season.
Right.
Which I'm honestly super surprised about. I was like, he's going to just, like, kill one of those guys and get him all bloody and get his girlfriend all bloody, and then they're going to go walking away.
I'm glad that was a little overdone last season.
Oh, yeah. No, it totally was. But I was expecting it.
Yeah.
And so when it didn't happen, I was very happy. But I don't think they're ever going to get it together because Nick sees him as the villain.
Yeah.
Because he's the one who shot them and killed all those people, and Nick feels guilty about that.
Yeah.
Sorry, I just had an epiphany.
No, go.
I think that Alicia's going to feel really guilty about Travis dying, and Nick feels really guilty about all of those people dying, coming to get, like, because he told them.
Yeah.
And so they might actually have some true bonding moments. That being said, I don't know that Alicia will necessarily forgive Nick for just piecing out.
I don't think so either. And
because it's always been about Nick and not about her.
But even when they were in the, even when they're at the ranch, and it's Broke Jaw Ranch, Steven, not Brokeback Mountain, which apparently I'm all for your wife. Like, that's where your mind went, really. Yes, Broke Jaw Ranch. Yeah, I think that even at the ranch, when he said to her, you know, I don't think this is where I'm going to stay. I'm waiting for Luciana to get better, and then I'm going to peace out again. And I'm like, dude. Like, wait, do you not have any respect for your family? Like, they've risked everything to find you, and now you're just ready to peace out again as soon as your girlfriend gets better.
Yeah, but I love that you have a problem with Nick for that reason, because I have a problem with Madison for that reason. Because she's like, no, we're going to go find him. No, we're going to go find him. Like, she will not drop it. Like, she won't let him go be an adult. And, like, I know it's an apocalypse, like, situation, but focus on the people who are actually sticking with you. It's like,
but I think that's what she did in the last season. When she let him go, I think that was her, like, you know what, if this is what you want, then go. But then when she saw the helicopter and everything like that, and then she found out that he might have been involved in this, you know, drug gang cartel, she got worried about him again, and that's why she went to go find him. So I mean, that's why she went to go find him, and now he's trying to leave again. And I think that you are right. I think that you are on a point with, you know, him and her having these moments, because she's lost Travis and feeling guilty about Travis, and him feeling guilty about, you know, bringing all these people essentially to their deaths.
Yeah.
I feel like they will have a bonding moment, but I feel like Madison, and this is just going to the last scene of the episode, when she tells them, you know, we're going to stay here, because essentially all she wanted to do was get the family together and leave. But now she wants to stay, even if it means taking over the place.
Right. Which is, like, super badass. I'm like,
but do we think it's smart? No. No, because I kind of like this guy, Jeremiah, and I feel like her and Jeremiah are going to have, like, these bond, because they both lost people.
I think that she's seeing that, and maybe she is going to... I need to know Madison's background, okay? I need more about her history, because I cannot judge what she's going to do. Like, she's using a spoon to kill somebody.
Yeah.
She's manipulative. Like, she's really good at it.
Yeah.
And she knows who has power. I mean, I think this season's going to suffer a little bit. I don't think she's going to have as much of a grasp on that.
Right.
But I need to know what happened in her history.
I agree. I think that, and I hope that they revisit that at some time this season, because I think they need to. I think we need to know a little bit more. And it's a juicy history.
It is.
Like, your husband committed suicide, there's drugs, there's, like, all
the rest
stuff.
Of the cast don't know her history. Apparently, Kim Dickens talked with the writers and was and the directors and was like, this is it. And nobody else knows.
Hmm.
So none of the actors know.
That's interesting.
Right?
I mean, I'm really hoping that they get, you know, more into that this season. Is there anything else that we need to talk about when it comes to these two amazing episodes? You guys, it was... Well, there was so much to cover in two episodes. It's where we're like, oh.
Yeah. I mean, okay, so a couple of things. I think that Nick has no tact right now, and I think he's going to learn a lot from Madison.
Okay.
So I think that's going to be an important thing to happen. And as Steven says, you think that Nick will be a silent hero, and he'll leave in case chaos will happen, and then he'll come back and save everyone. I agree, but I also think that Nick needs to learn how to play the politics side, because that's what that's what survival is. It's not just like, I'm gonna go do my own thing.
Yeah,
you have to learn how to work. It's like kindergarten, you guys. We got to learn how to work together.
I agree with you. I think that Nick. I feel like Nick and Madison are gonna have more of a thing. I feel like it's too early to do predictions, though. You know what I mean? Like, the first two episodes, I'm like, what?
And well, we didn't check in with Ophelia, so we have no idea what's happening with her.
That's true.
She wasn't even in, like, the last, was she even in the finale of last season? I don't remember exactly.
No, and you're right.
But I don't think she was. So
no. Wait, no, she was. She was in the finale, yeah, because she...
At the very end.
Yes, when she encounters those guys after she crosses the border and they shoot at her.
Because I really mad that we hadn't checked in with her the entire episode.
Well, hopefully we get more into that this season. Ophelia, more relationships and stuff like that. You guys, we are going to be here every Sunday night covering Fear the Walking Dead at 8 p.m. Next week is only a one episode.
So we'll be able to
dig into that more. 8 p.m., where can they find you, Natalie?
You can find me at Natalie Dyer, NataleeDyer, at all social media platforms.
Awesome, you guys. And I am Timothy Michael. You can find me at all social media platforms at I am Timothy Mike. I want to say thank you to everybody in the chat because you guys were awesome.
Yeah,
hopefully we can give you guys a little bit more shout outs next week
for
when we're not crunched on time. But if anything, we will see you guys next week.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.